We'll come to order.
Thank you.
Carla, will you? Carla, would you please read the time certain land use item, item number 1249?
Yes. Tentatively deny appeal of Cottonwood Capital Property Management LLC, Frank Fleck and Gary Gossett, and uphold hearings officer's decision with modifications to approve with conditions the application of Recology Oregon Material Recovery, Inc. for a conditional use to establish a waste-related use that accepts and processes food waste that is blended with yard debris within a fully enclosed building at 6400 Southeast 101st Avenue, LU 10194-818-CUAD.
And please call the roll. Please call the vote, sir.
Do we need a motion?
Respectfully, appellants object to the process and procedure by which this order has been drafted.
Excuse
and adopted.
Me.
I haven't recognized you, ma'am. Would you please sit down? Now.
Catherine, you before you
please
your vote?
Sit down.
Catherine Beaumont, City Attorney's Office. What you have before you are the findings that reflect the council's tentative decision of approximately a month ago. In order to adopt the findings, you do need a motion. A motion to deny the appeal and to adopt the findings presented to you as your final decision would be in order.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Would you please? This is a motion to approve. This process has gone on for some time with ample opportunity for comment and following the rules prescribed to us very strictly. Would you please call the vote?
Fritz.
This has been a long process, and we delayed the vote in the middle of the summer to allow extra time to look into the issues. That was important to me that we made sure that I had all the information. And frankly, if I were being asked to vote on is this the right place for this facility or is this the best and highest use of this property, my vote would be no. But that's not what I'm being asked to vote on in this instance. What I'm charged and required by state law to vote on is whether the application for this proposed use on this proposed site meets the approval criteria in the code or can be made to meet the approval criteria with suitable conditions. My staff and I looked long and hard to try to find a way to say no. And I have been working on land use cases in neighborhoods for 20 years and tried really hard. And yet I find that the approval criteria are met with the additional conditions. I'm very pleased with the conditions of approval that look to form a good neighbor agreement, which I hope the neighborhood will work on diligently. We did hear from many neighbors in support of this proposal as well as many opposed. And often that is the case that in any neighborhood there isn't unanimity over whether something should be approved or not. I appreciate the staff work and the diligence that has been done here, and I also appreciate the good discussion that was happened during the appeal. For those who are not pleased with this ruling, with this vote, the next step is to appeal to the Land Use Board of Appeals about any procedural issues or other concerns with the way the council has made the vote. But with those comments, and again with thanks to both to all of the participants as well as to the staff, I vote aye.
Leonard?
I found the applicant's testimony in regard to the transportation impacts in direct conflict to staff's testimony about the potential transportation impacts, therefore I do believe that the criteria has not been met for approval of the siting of this enterprise in Lentz, so I vote no.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Adams.
Recology has agreed to a number of conditions that go above and beyond the to improve the current status quo debris transfer facility at the Foster Road site, including the installation of state-of-the-art bio-air filtration system and the plan to upload materials within a closed doors as opposed to open air. I want to thank those that opposed this project for engaging in the process. And to be clear, this is not the only facility of this type that is proposed within the city. There's a proposal for this exact kind of facility in St. John's, the North Portland area where I live. So I want to thank Rehana Ansari in my office and others that worked on this. Pleased to vote aye. So approved. Can you please read the next item? I think it's the title of resolution.
Item 1286, accept report of General Fund Overhead Advisory Committee and adopt recommendations.
The mayor has to leave, so I'll be presiding over the remainder of the morning session. Andrew Scott.
Great. And I think there is an amendment that needs to be made, and I assume everyone has a copy of that. Okay. So I don't know if we want to do that first, or we can do that.
Sure. Could you just briefly tell us what the amendment does?
Yeah. The amendment, the original report that we filed last week includes a target adjustment between Bureau of Human Resources and the Police Bureau, moving three positions, funding for three positions out of the Police Bureau into HR. It should have been filed with four positions, and after further discussion with the Police Bureau, they agree with that. And I can get into the specifics of why we're making those target reductions as we go through the discussion of the model, but that would be the amendment, is essentially to change that from three to four.
I'd move the amendment as submitted.
Second. Please call the roll on the amendment.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
So the juxtaposition of discussing and talking and hearing from the Poet Laureate moving to general fund overhead model is probably one of the more dramatic juxtapositions of subject matters. I think I've mentioned before that my staff is fond of haikus. Thus, they have written two, one about the old model and one about the new. And I will very briefly read those.
Wow.
So about the old model. Overhead model, a spider's web of metrics, dauntingly complex. With the new model, 36 to 2, the metrics are simplified, a new model born. And with that, I'll just open it up for questions.
Yeah. Call the vote. Call the vote. Motion.
So for those for whom that is not, perhaps for those watching at home, could you give us a little
Absolutely.
Bit more detail about what
so,
the overhead
and
model
I'll,
is?
I'll go briefly through when we discuss this with your offices. But the city's overhead model, the general fund overhead model, this is how we allocate central service costs, such as the city attorney's office, council offices, my budget office, HR purchasing, and so forth, how we allocate the cost to all the bureaus in the city who use those services. The existing model has 48 cost pools. Those are the budgeted amounts that are allocated out, and they're allocated out using 36 different metrics, everything from number of calls received to number of journal entries processed to number of council agenda items filed. That model, which has been in place for many, many years, tries to achieve as much accuracy as possible in terms of the actual services used by each bureau. However, it is also prone to very large swings from year to year in terms of the overhead charges that are applied to the different bureaus in the city. As part of the current budget process, Council passed a budget note that directed OMF to update the general fund overhead model, looking at the cost pools, the metrics, and allocation methodologies, and also look at any potential additions or adjustments to that model. The city has a general fund overhead advisory committee that reviews and make recommendations on all general fund overhead model changes. So we worked with the general fund overhead advisory committee, which has representatives from all of the large and many of the small and medium bureaus. We worked with them on any potential updates to the model. Excuse me. We presented them with a variety of options for changing the model, with our primary focus being on stability and predictability of the charges. The advisory committee met twice and recommended moving forward with the model that you have before me, which I'll briefly walk through. The new model greatly simplifies the metrics that are used. It goes from using the 36 different metrics down to just two. The two metrics that would be used to allocate all overhead costs would be budget size and FTE. Budget size would account for 75%, and FTE would account for 25% of the cost. In terms of budget size, because we do have some very large bureaus with very large capital projects and debt, this is an existing thing that's been in the model for a long time. But, well, actually, one of the changes we're making is debt funds are now fully excluded from the model, so those get taken out. And then something that was in the old model that will be carried forward in the new model is capital costs are discounted by 50%. So again, this is some of our large infrastructure bureaus, we do give them a discount on their budget size based on sort of the relative use of the services. The new model does have an impact on most city funds in aggregate, and I would draw you, if you have the report in front of you, The first, there's a narrative section sort of describing the process we went through and rationale. The first table in that report, which is FY 2012-13 General Fund Overhead Recovery Comparison. What that table shows, we ran the existing model for next year to sort of show that under the existing model with the metrics, what the charges would be. And then we show what the new charges would be by Bureau as well. And at an aggregate level between the general fund and the non-general fund, there are not many changes. The general fund would save about $413,000 under this model. Non-general fund bureaus would pick up about $413,000 more. However, if you look within that, individual bureaus see significant swings. Some bureaus have a significant reduction in the charges, and some bureaus have significant increases in the charges. All of the bureaus that are significantly impacted were represented on the Overhead Advisory Committee, and they all did agree to move forward with this new model, even those that are paying significantly more. And I think the benefit, they certainly aren't happy about paying more, but I think the benefit they saw of the new model is its predictability and simplicity. And so moving forward, bureaus will be able to do a much better job of projecting over their five-year forecasts what their overhead charges are going to be. The next table, which I won't go through, but certainly you could look at, and if you have any questions, it shows the last 5 years of overhead charges, and you can see the wild swings that we get under the existing model. Bureaus will have a 20% increase 1 year, followed by a 15% increase decrease the following year, followed by a 15% increase the next year. And that makes it very, very hard, particularly for the large rate bureaus, to make those, you know, to plan into the future and hold rates stable. The new model will be much more stable. We do give up some accuracy in terms of paying exactly for the services that you're receiving, but I think as we analyzed it over time, those differences will, I think most bureaus are going to end up paying about what they would have paid anyway. And I do think that when we look, and the advisory committee agreed with this, when you look at budget size and FTE, they are only two metrics, but they are relatively correlated with the services that are used by the bureaus. And so again, I think over the long term, we'll see that correlation. And we'll see those charges will be fair. The other thing that the budget note directed us to do in addition to change the model, and so that is the model that the Overhead Advisory Committee recommends moving forward with, to also just look to see if anything else should be folded into the model. There are a number of interagency agreements that have formed over the years with overhead receiving bureaus, and the question is, are those more appropriately located within the model? The Advisory Committee looked at those, and they are recommending changes to three. One would be to increase HR's HR has an interagency right now for payroll support for a staff person that is helping with the EBS payroll support. That position's paid for by bureaus throughout the city. We would just move that those interagency payments into the overhead model. Another one, HR also has an interagency agreement with Police Bureau for four positions that provide support to the police but also are providing support to other public safety agencies. It would move those positions from an interagency into the HR budget. And then finally, in the budget office and financial planning, we have 0.4 position that provides mapping and performance management services. We would also fold that in. In order to keep these changes budget neutral, we're reducing the budgets of the bureaus that are currently paying for them to increase the budgets on the other side. So the best example here on the police, the IA that HR has with the Police Bureau for those four positions, since police will no longer be paying for them, we would remove that money from police's Cal target, we would add it to HR's Cal target, and the general fund would be held harmless through that process. So again, what these changes do, and as part of this resolution would be adopted, is it's simply taking things that are currently in IA, saying they belong more appropriately in the overhead model, and then making the adjustments to hold the general fund harmless as a result.
One question, if I could. Andrew, I'm looking at our resolution and the accompanying report, and it says that cash transfers, contingency, and ending fund balance will continue to be excluded from the model, which makes sense. It also says that operating projects for two funds, including Housing Investment Fund, will receive a 50% discount, similar to capital projects. So in light of that, would you just remind me why in your Exhibit 1 the HIF goes from 73,000 to 231,000 on line Fund 213?
Yeah. Maybe Jeremy can talk a little bit about the specifics there.
Mostly, I mean, even with a 50% discount, the HIF in the older model didn't use as many of the metrics, say, council calendar items or number of transactions, whereas now it's mostly focused on budget, 75%. So if you're looking at the HIF as a rather large fund, so they are going to get a larger portion of that overhead cost, just because of their relative budget size, compared to under the old model, budget wasn't used as much of a large metric. Does that make?
Yep.
Good.
Any other questions? Well, I just want to make sure I understand the basics. So the general fund overhead recovery will yield about $25 million next fiscal year under this new model that goes to support the activities of OMF, Office of Management Finance.
Well, it's actually the activities of all overhead receiving bureaus. So it's a number of OMF services, council offices, city attorney's office, a significant portion of the auditor's office, anything that receives the overhead, yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
I move the resolution.
Does anybody want to testify on this issue?
No one signed up.
In that case, I will entertain the motion to.
I move the resolution.
It's been moved and seconded. Please call the roll.
Leonard?
I'm moved by your haiku. That was excellent. All right.
Fish.
You know, Randy, based on today's presentation, you know that you're going to have to actually compose a haiku and read it at Live Wire, which is a tradition of the Cultural Trust. Yeah, okay. So start preparing.
My staff are available for assistance.
Okay.
Andrew, I know a lot of work went into this, your team and the various bureau representatives, and there were council briefings. So thank you, as always, for superb work. Bye.
Saltzman?
Well, I, too, appreciate the haiku. I think that was a good follow-up to the previous presentation, but it looks like a lot of hard work went into this, and it looks like it's fair and equitable. I'm pleased to support it. Aye.
Fritz. Thank you for your good work. The one note I had was that there wasn't any public involvement because it was an internal discussion within the city, which has been the norm, so that's certainly understandable. I think that moving forward, there would be some benefit in having perhaps some of our citizen budget advisors participate in those kinds of discussions, just to have some outside eyes verifying that what the bureau's come up with is a good thing. That said, it does look like this is a very good thing, and I'm pleased to support it. Aye. Gentlemen, we have a citizen testifier who was not able to be here right at 9:30 who would like to ask for our indulgence for 3 minutes. For those who are able to stay, please read the title again for item 1245.
Request of Moses Rosen to address council regarding occupation movement.
Good morning. You just need to state your name for the record, and then you have 3 minutes, and the clock in front of you will count down.
Yeah, thanks. Good morning. Thank you for your time. I was a resident across the street for well over a month, and I wanted to share just a few things with you. Namely, I wanted to share with you, I wanted to open with a poem in the spirit of today's activities, and it's a song by the Neville Brothers called Sons and Daughters, and it goes like this. You can't stop running water. You can't kill the fire that burns inside. The end of that song says, it's freedom of speech as long as you don't say too much. But sooner or later, we're going to realize we're going to meet up with the truth face to face. So I want to talk about what I see as the gold that we discovered in the occupation. And that is, the number one thing to me was it dramatically changed my view of the police officers in this town. We have a tremendously friendly police force in this town. You know, the last time I was here, I spoke about our tremendously bad accountability program, but the two are unrelated, and that is a piece of gold that I found at the occupation. Another piece of gold that I found at the occupation was that it was true democracy in action. People had a voice. People were empowered. It was beautiful. It was unlike anything I've ever experienced. Another nugget that I found at the occupation was that a group of volunteers with little more than a frying pan and a canister of gas were able to feed thousands and thousands of people day after day purely from the generosity of this community's heart. Another piece of gold that I discovered at the occupation was that with very few rules, with free food, and a location across the street from the jail, we were able to provide a safe and hospitable environment for hundreds of Portland's least served citizens. A miracle, really, And despite the citations of violence and problems in the park, considering the number of people in that small area and the number of problems, it was a real miracle. Can I have 30 more seconds after this, please?
Fine.
Yeah. All right. Despite the police department's desire to find public health issues in the park, the public health department really couldn't cite issues. There weren't lice outbreaks. There weren't scabies outbreaks. Anyway, the other piece of gold that I found at the occupation, that this movement is part of a spiritual global awakening that's been happening for a while now. These things are connected. The occupation is not going away. You cannot stop running water. The missed, the golden opportunity that I see that was missed was the wholly uncreative way that Portland solved the real problems that were across the street. You know, granted, things need to change, and there were concerns from the community and concerns within the camp, but I think that Portland's the crew that planned that whole thing did a miserable job, and I know that the Department of Homeland Insecurity had a lot to do with it. But I think you really missed a golden opportunity there, and I think the opportunity still exists because, like I said, you can't stop running water. Thank you.
Thank you for taking the time to come into City Council Chambers. If you want to talk to Carl about another opportunity, that'd be fine. Thank you. With that, we are adjourned until 2 p.m.